1 Thessalonians 1, and it's the whole of chapter 1. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labour prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For you know, brothers and sisters loved by God, that he has chosen you. Because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know we have lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. For you welcome the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it. For they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath.
Can you just excuse me for a moment? I just need to check myself in my mirror, if I can. This is just a tricky thing to open. Just want to... how many people have done this morning? Come on, be honest. Put your hand up if you looked in the mirror this morning. Okay, leave your hand up if you're happy with what you see. Oh, there's two at the back. Yep, perhaps you need some new mirrors, the guys at the back. Okay, we do, don't we? Interesting that when I said that, lots of ladies put their hand up. Lots of women put their hand up. Not so many men. Okay, so you guys obviously feel that, you know, you don't need to look in the mirror. You are okay. And it's interesting, isn't it? I read somewhere where when people look at the mirror, a woman always sees the negative side of her body, even though she looks quite amazing. While a man, whatever his condition... You know what I'm going to say, don't you? They always see the positive side. And we look in the mirror to check ourselves out, don't we? To see how we look. If you are looking in your spiritual mirror at the condition of your soul and your spirit, I wonder what you would see and I wonder how you would feel. Because what we're going to do is we're going to start looking at this church in Thessalonica. Yeah, I was watching Stuart the other day. We have trouble with these long words, don't we, Stu? Thessalonica was a church. And we're going to look at this church because actually, when you start to read this letter, they were a good church, okay? There was so much good. In fact, it says they were a model for everyone else. So there's stuff that we're going to be able to learn from them this morning. And I've really been wrestling over this message. Because a little while ago, when I preached, you won't remember what I preached on because no one ever does, do they? Although, Stuart, last week, it was Paul's message, and Mark. Yeah, see, I remember that. He kind of made you say it a number of times, didn't he? I reinforce it. But actually, a few weeks ago, I preached, and I talked about no... follow, share. Yeah? You're all going, no, I haven't got a clue. But today, do you know what I want to preach on? No, follow, share. And of course, if you don't know, that is our vision. It's been our vision for the last year, 18 months. We want to know Jesus. We want to follow Jesus. And we want to share Jesus. That's what the church is all about. And when we look at this church in Thessalonica, that was exactly what they were doing. And they're a model for us to follow. So what I want us to do is I want to get into Scripture this morning. And we're going to look at this chapter. If you've got it on your phone or you've got your Bible with you, keep it open because I'm going to go through it. We're going to look at it and see what it has to say to us as a church today. So in a sense, as a church, we're going to look at ourselves and think about how maybe we can change things. As individuals, we should be looking at ourselves and seeing what perhaps can change in our life for the better. So let's get into this. Okay, so the first thing I want to say, and I'm going to depend on Munya to do the... I can't preach and do this. I do apologize. Munya, can we have a first slide, please? Is that it? It is. Okay, here we go. No, that's not the first one. Next one, please. There we go. To know Jesus, these were a transformed people. You see, they had been, and we don't use this very word very often, they have been converted from paganism to Christianity. Some of them have been converted from Judaism to Christianity. But there was a spiritual transaction. So verse 4 and verse 5, we could have that up, please, Munya. It says this, "For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction." He goes on to say, "You know how we lived among you for your sake." So something happened to these people, and we see it in the book of Acts. Stuart spoke about it last week. These people were Jews and they were pagans, and Paul stayed there probably for a month, and he preached, and people were converted. And it says a bit later on in the passage how they were turned from their pagan ways and they came to know Christ. And this is the power of the gospel. Okay, this is the power of the gospel. The gospel is about changing people's lives forever, for eternity. It is about transformation, and these people had truly been transformed. And Paul says to them, he says, "You are loved by God and you have been chosen by God." And this morning, have you, I'm going to ask you the question very clearly, have you come to know Christ? Have you been converted? Because if you haven't, give yourself to Christ, because there is so much that you can experience and you can know. We did the Alpha Holy Spirit Day yesterday, and we had conversations with people. And there was one conversation that we had was with somebody who said, "Well, I gave my life to Christ, but I kind of stepped back from that." And for me, that was one of the saddest things I heard, because here someone said, "I was converted. I knew what it was to receive the Holy Spirit. I knew what it was to pray for people and see them healed. I knew what it was to have joy and power and peace in my life. And I kind of walked away from that." Yeah. Someone who is loved and chosen by God is not living the godly life, and to have that potential. And I wonder, when you look at yourself, are you someone who has been converted? Have you given your life to Christ? Do you know what it is to be saved? Whatever Christian words we want to use, has there been transformation, a spiritual transaction in your life to come to know God? Because it is an amazing thing that God would die, Christ would die for us on a cross, and then give us the opportunity to come to know him, to receive the Holy Spirit, to have eternal life, and to live a life in all its fullness. It's there for every one of us. And I look around the room and I know most of you, you have it. Do you still have it? I don't know how old you are as a Christian. This year, I clocked up 46 years. No, that's true. Yeah, it's true. 46 years. You can't believe I'm that old, can you? I know. And I've taken that journey with Christ. And there have been highs and there have been lows. Times when I felt like walking away. But I haven't, and I'm still there. And I have no regrets in terms of how God has led me and blessed me and continues to have his hand upon my life. As I said, it was really sad to hear someone say, "Well, that's what I was, but I've kind of lost it." And I want to say to you today, where are you with God? If you look in your spiritual mirror, do you know Christ as you once did? Do you still have the passion that he's placed within you? Do you experience his love? Do you hear his voice? Because the truth is, he hasn't changed. He hasn't moved. It's you who's moved. And you know, the great thing about growing old is that actually the older we are, the more we know of Christ. And I hear an amen there. I'm just going to tell you, people watching on screen, hear an amen there from someone who must be over 70. And he agrees. You're not.
No, I'm not even my friend.
Okay. But the more we journey with Christ, the more we can know of him, if we choose to. We need to be growing as Christians. So these people were converted. They came to know Jesus. The greatest thing. I'm very frustrated in my car because when I get into my car, wherever I'm going, I normally take my iPhone and I plug it into the audio in my car. And Apple are very clever, aren't they? Because the first thing that comes on when you plug your audio into your car is iTunes. I don't want iTunes. I want Spotify. But I don't get it. And what I have on my iTunes, I only seem to have one song on my iTunes, and that was a song that I bought many years ago, actually for my mum's funeral. And it's a instrumental version of Knowing You, Jesus. And I have to say, this week it's driven me nuts. Because it's not my favourite song. But as I reflected on this message, Knowing You, Jesus, how about this? All I once held dear, built my life upon, all this world reveres and wars to own, all I once thought gain, I have counted loss, spent and worthless now, compared to this, Knowing You, Jesus. Knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all, you're the best. And I wonder if we can say that with honest hearts, to say, actually, God, you are the best. God, Jesus, you are the best thing in my life. We're going to move on because I've got 18 pages of notes to get through. Yeah, 18 pages. Sorry, Stu. Okay, so the next thing, these people were committed to following Christ. Let's have that up, Munya. And we see that in verse 6 through to verse 7. It says this: you became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with joy given by the Holy Spirit. You became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. I think that's how we pronounce it, isn't it, Matthew? Something like that. Anyway, but you see, these people were imitators of Christ, imitators of Paul, but also of the Lord. And that's something they committed themselves to, become like Christ. They were following Jesus. And they had the marks of Christ upon them. In fact, what Paul says to them, he says this: we continue to remember, this is verse 3, we remember you before our God and Father, your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you notice those three words? We've got faith, love, and hope. And if you know about the writings of Paul, and particularly the end of 1 Corinthians 13, he says this: now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. And he's saying to these people, this is what you do, because you have faith, you have hope, and you have love in your hearts. Work produced by faith. And it's just a challenge, isn't it? When we think about our lives, are our lives filled with faith? I went to a car meet with my son the other day, and I sat at a table opposite a vicar. In fact, a vicar and an army chaplain. It was a very spiritual conversation going on. And we talked about Land Rovers and Datsun 240Zs and all kinds of things like that. And then we started to talk about church. And the vicar, he's a great guy called George. He works for HDB, Holy Trinity Brompton, in one of their church plants in Knightsbridge. He's a great guy. Really admire him. Don't like his choice of cars. But actually, he says, I love working for HDB because they have a can-do attitude. They look at things that need to be done and they get on and do it. And if it doesn't work out, hey, let's just try something else. And he said, you know, they really do step out in faith. They build churches, they build up Christians, they do an amazing job because they believe that God can do it through them. And I want to say to us as a church, do we have that kind of can-do faith? You know, we've just put up stuff about Renew Wellbeing. And, you know, part of us can sit there going, well, it's just another project, isn't it? But wouldn't it be amazing if God put his hand upon it to bless it? We are opening our doors to community. And we could say, well, who's going to come? Or we can think about it like that. Or we can say, you know, we've got the doors open. We're praying. We're going to see what God can do. We're starting food bank. We're going to become a food bank community, food bank center. The doors are coming open. Who's going to come in? What is God going to do in their lives? We're restarting Awana. Yay! We're starting Coffee Morning. Stepping Stones has already started. These things are happening. What is God going to do? Oh, we sat again. Well, we might see a couple of new people come. Or we're saying, God, come on. We believe you can do more than we can ask or imagine. Because I do. I am so looking forward to these doors coming fully open. Having people come into our building. Being able to pray for them and see their lives transformed. It's going to happen. We need to have faith in God. And I wonder, as a Christian, are you walking by faith? Are you expecting God to do stuff in your life? See, these people, they work so hard because they put their faith in Christ and they believe God was going to do something through them and in them and for them. The second thing was their labor was prompted by love. You see, these people had a genuine love for God and for one another. They loved God above all things and it led them to action. They were inspired. They had endurance inspired by hope. These were people of hope. These were positive people. Again, with a can-do attitude. And it says in Scripture that hope doesn't disappoint us. I wonder if we are faith-filled, full of love, and people of hope. Because if we are that kind of church, it makes us very different from the world, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because do we see those things in our world? We see so much negativity. We see so much bad news. And people struggling in so many ways. And yet the church is different because we have hope, faith, and love. And you as an individual, is your life marked by hope, faith, and love? Do people want to be around you because they feel good and they feel something coming from you? So these people were committed to Christ. They were following Christ. Lastly, just need to touch on this. This is number three. They were a mission-focused people. It says in verse 7, it says this, so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only to Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it. For they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. So these people had that dramatic conversion, and then they started to tell other people. And the message, it says the message rang out from them. And it's a bit like the old church bells, isn't it? You know, what do the church bells do? I kind of looked that up. You know, church bells have been around since about AD 400. There you go. Those are the facts you can take home and share with your family. But the other thing is the church bells ring out to call people to worship. And here what the letter says, that the message kind of rang out. People could hear the message outside of the church. And then the word rang out is actually comes from the word echo. That when, you know, when we go up to the Swiss Alps and we start to shout out, that voice is heard again and again and again. And that's a picture of how the gospel rang out from these people. They had turned from idol worship, they turned to God, and they wanted to know, they wanted people to know what had happened to them. And as church, we have so much, don't we, in terms of a message of hope. He says in Romans chapter 1, he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. And that's an interesting thing, isn't it? Let's do a check there, shall we? Am I ashamed of the gospel? Do I put Jesus on my lips? And it challenges me deeply. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile. We come back to conversion, don't we? This is the power of God. This is what's going to change society. Yeah. Yeah. The government might pump millions of pounds into different projects, but what is going to change people's lives, not just here on earth, but for eternity, is the gospel of Jesus. And you have it.
Yeah.
You have it. Mm-hmm. And what are you going to do with it? I read a story about a guy called John Currier. In 1949, he was found guilty of murder and sentenced to life in prison. Later, he was transferred and paroled to work on a farm near Nashville, Tennessee. In 1968, Currier's sentence was terminated, and a letter bearing the good news was sent to him. But John never saw the letter, nor was he told anything about it. Life on the farm was hard and without promise for the future. John kept doing what he was doing. The farmer died, and then 10 years later, after the letter had been sent, the parole officer learned that John was still on the farm and went to see him. Why are you still here? He says, because I never got the letter to tell me that I was free. It was never delivered. And I have a sense that God has given us the letter of freedom for so many people. And perhaps we put it in our pocket and we leave it there and we don't give it to the people who need to hear it. The church is the bearer of wonderful news. The question is, are we sharing the good news with others? Are we sharing what we have? Because we know that Christ changes lives for eternity. And I think there's a sense possibly that as we've all been locked down, maybe we've lost that passion for the gospel. Maybe we've become so used to not speaking out. But as we come out, let's come out as a church ready to share what we have with others. I was listening to a guy called Skip Heitzig. He was speaking about 1 Thessalonians. He preached quite well, actually. Quite enjoyed his message. But he talked about the church. And he said this. He said he'd spoken to a church leader called John MacArthur. And he spoke to Skip and he said, you know, the first 10 years of church are the most exciting. Because there's a passion and a desire to share Jesus. But after that, everything starts to decline. The passion starts to decrease. And he uses this phrase. He says, we start with a man, we then have a movement, and then we have a monument. And wouldn't it be sad if all this church was a wonderful building? We need the passion for the gospel. We need a passion for the lost. That we keep moving, that we keep seeking, that we keep sharing what we have with others. Because the church and the gospel is the hope of the world. And you have it. and I have it? And are we going to share it with others? I want to finish with this question. Not a question, a statement. It says on the screen, be a model. I looked up what it meant to be a model. And apparently, if you want to be a model, if you're a woman, you need to be around 5'9" and weigh between 7'12" and 130 pounds, which is 9'4". If you're a guy, you need to be around 6 foot. And you need to weigh between 9 and 12 stone. Because I was thinking to myself, wouldn't it be great to be a model? And I thought, well, I would never get a model with Giacomo, would I? Okay. But I did look online. Is there a place where you can buy clothes for short people? Stuart, listen up. There's a place called...
It's called H&M Kids.
It's a place called Ash and Erie, and they sell clothes for people who are shorter than 5'8".
Wow.
Yes. So, Stuart and I, we might just, you know, see if we can get a job modelling for them. But when you look at a model, the idea is you go, wow, isn't that great? Because you know what it's like. You go to a shop and you look at the clothes on the mannequin, you think, oh, that'll look great on me. And then you put it on. And it's either too tight or it looks like a sack. Paul said to these people, you are a model of what it means to be church. You are a model of what it means to be the people of God. And I want to finish with that challenge for us as the people of God here at Buckskin. But also I want to finish with that challenge for you. Do you model what it means to be Christ-like? When people look at you, do they go, wow, that is something amazing. You look like Jesus. I'm going to ask you to stand. And we're going to pray together. And I'm going to ask you this morning, are you really ready to know Jesus? Or maybe if you've kind of fallen away from your faith, are you ready to come back and to receive all that he has for you? Are you ready to follow him? To fill your life with his spirit? To be full of hope, faith and love? And are you ready to share him with others as he gives you opportunity? It's a choice we need to make. My prayer is this morning you will choose Jesus to be the person he wants you to be and share him with others freely and gladly. Let's pray, shall we? Father God, we want to thank you for what we have heard this morning. Lord, we want to thank you for this church, which clearly was passionate about its faith, loved you dearly, and followed you closely. Lord, we thank you that it was a church that was filled with hope, faith, and love. Lord, we thank you for the challenge of your word. And we pray now that as your people, that you would help us, Lord, to come to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That we would put him at the center of our lives. Yes. Our Lord, if we have walked away, help us to come back, draw us back into that deep relationship with him. Yes. And Lord, I want to pray you'd help us to follow him, which means that we need to obey him and to walk in his ways. Lord, help us to do that. And lastly, Lord, help us to put Jesus on our lips. Help us to share him with others, to be good news, to be that model you want us to be. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.